think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas for the Canelo Alvarez and Miguel Cotto fight. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. Put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And yeah, those the latter ways are probably the best way to get in touch with the show today, simply because it's really hard for us to try to take phone calls while we're out here in Las Vegas, which I have to tell you why we're here. We are here at the Mandalay Bay in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, where two of boxing's biggest superstars, Miguel Cotto and Canelo Alvarez, will collide in a mega fight for the middleweight world championship. It's a can't-miss battle between all action warriors and an epic matchup in the tradition of the storied Puerto Rico versus Mexico rivalry. Who will come out on top? Don't miss Cotto versus Canelo. Live on pay-per-view tomorrow at 8 o'clock Central Time. And lots of good stuff the first hour if you missed any of it. All available at podcastarena.com. Full show podcast. You can also listen online at ESPN975.com. You can also listen via the ESPN radio app. You can also listen on TuneIn Radio. So plenty of ways to keep up with the show. All right, we did our college picks, which I'm on record, and I think AJ's on record. We're not real sold on any of these picks this week, so just proceed with caution. I feel the same way about the NFL, which we'll go through now. Although, John, you may be very confident in your picks. What's your confidence?
Okay.
You feel, on a scale of 1 to 10, how strong are you feeling?
With the college picks?
No, with the NFL.
7, 6 or a 7.
Whoa.
It's okay.
It's pretty ballsy.
That's stronger than I feel, for sure.
Yeah, I'm about a 4 at best. All right, we'll start off with Redskins at the Panthers. Redskins getting 7.5 at Carolina. Carolina never looks like that great of a team to me, but I think I'm going to get out of the business of betting against them. I'm really tempted to take Washington outside the 7 here, but I just can't make myself do it. So no play for me, but I would probably take the Panthers.
Yeah, I would too, but again, no play. I think the touchdown's more than I would want to give, but I can't do it. I can't bet on that game, even though I'm thinking when the line came out, I was like, if the Redskins are getting more than a touchdown, I'm going to feel good about it. And then it came out, and I was like, maybe not. Like you said, I think the Panthers have punished us enough that it's kind of beaten you off of that.
Yes. Raiders +1 at the Lions. This is a game I'm guessing you like.
That is a game that I do like. And Wooly disagreed with me yesterday, so I'm going against him too, Fred. Don't feel bad. I just think the Raiders are – I mean, listen, the Lions are a bad team. I think the Raiders are a good team, and I think – I've been talking about this forever, about buying low and selling high. The Raiders had an ugly loss last week. The Lions had the best win that they'll have all season. It doesn't mean that the Raiders are a bad team or the Lions are suddenly good. It just means they had a good week. And I think that if you'd asked what this line was going to be a week ago, like, well, you know, we talked to RJ about what would it have been, and I'm guessing the Raiders probably would have been a 3 to 4 point favorite. And now I'm getting a point, so I'll take the Raiders +1.
The Dallas Cowboys, with, theoretically, the return of Tony Romo.
Theoretically.
-1 at Dalton.
I feel like I'm a sucker, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to say the Cowboys beat the streak. They break their slump, and they go into Miami and get the big one, especially after Tony Romo put that scene from Major League on his Twitter where they're going to go win the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to go, that's my second play, Cowboys -1.
All right.
A road favorite.
Yeah.
That's lost 7 straight.
Yeah.
Kill me.
I think that's a, I don't know if ballsy is the word I would use.
I'm an idiot is what it is.
It's something. It's something. Colts +5. I'm actually with you on that, by the way. Colts +5 at the Falcons. I know the Falcons have not been nearly as good. I think they're going to solve their red zone problems against the Colts this week. And if they don't, I will never bet on the Falcons again. But I'll take the Falcons here.
Yeah, this is a spot where the Falcons should roll, but I don't feel confident in them. They've burned me enough that I'm just not crazy about it. So I'll go with if I had to, I would take the Falcons, but I'll go with the pass here.
All right, that's my first official play, by the way, is the Falcons minus -5. So Rams plus +2.5 at Ravens. I don't have a ton of interest in this game. I think the Ravens. I don't know, man. I keep thinking they're better than 2-7, but they're not. No play for me. I guess I'd lean Raven, but I don't feel good about giving 2.5 points with a team that can't stop stepping on its own crank.
Yeah, that seems
getting cheated by refs.
But yeah, I can't do it either. The Ravens they've been in a lot of games, but they're just not finding ways to win. And the Rams are a team that can show up and be good. And I don't know what they'll get out of Keenum, but you know, whatever it is, I doubt that it's much less than they were getting out of Nick Foles. So
yeah, probably.
I think that number is adjusted by thinking that they've got a backup quarterback in, but I just don't know how good Nick Foles was. So when the Rams win, it's because Todd Gurley runs like crazy and they play good defense. I think the spot is here for them to play good defense. I would lean the Rams if I had to make a play, but I'm not making one.
All right, we'll come back to Jets and Texans. But Buccaneers plus +5.5 at Philadelphia. I really don't see why Philadelphia is giving points to anybody right now. I mean, I know the Bucs are bad, but it's not like Philadelphia is any good.
Yeah, especially that many points. 6 points, that's a big number for against a team that is in bad shape and starting Mark Sanchez on top of that.
Yeah.
You know, the Bucs have done some things right lately. I mean, I guess... I don't know what I would have made the number. I'm guessing I probably would have made it -3.5, -4. So the number's a little bit off, but not enough that I'm still not tempted to play the Bucs.
Yeah.
But if I had to give you a lean, it'd be Bucs plus +6.
The Chiefs -3.5 at San Diego.
Man, I like the Chiefs, or I mean, I like the Chargers. I like that team offensively. They're really bad on defense, but if there's a team in the league who's not going to exploit a bad defensive team, it's the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't throw on anybody. So I think I'll take the home favorite there, and I'll get 3.5 points with it.
Denver only a 1-point favorite at Chicago.
Give me Bears.
Yeah, I think I'll take the Bears getting a point.
I might be a sucker, but Denver hasn't been playing that well.
And Brock Osweiler is going to beat you?
Brock, well, yeah, that's it boils down to that. And have you seen, and I know everyone laughs at me when I say I like Jay Cutler. Everybody clowns on me. Guy's having a pretty solid year.
Yeah, this is the one year you get to be right so far.
I'm right so far. you know, defensively, the Bears still have their issues, but right now the Broncos can't run the ball. They couldn't run the ball when they had Peyton. Why would they be able to run the ball now?
Yeah.
So I like the Bears plus +1 at home.
Here's one that I mean, again, a week ago, there's no way Green Bay would have been getting 1.5 from Minnesota.
No.
I think the Packers will get it right. And that's no disrespect to Minnesota, which I think is a good football team. I just think the Packers are better. This is an important game. I will take the Packers plus +1.5. That is my second official NFL play of the week.
Jung, I don't know if I said this out loud, but that is my third official play is the Bears plus +1.
Okay. And then
I would be I would lean towards what you're saying with Green Bay. I don't know that I don't think I'm going to play it, but Green Bay should be favored, I would think, over Minnesota. But it's just,
yeah,
just seen Green Bay be bad for a few weeks in a row now, so there's reason for concern.
You have a double-digit division dog with San Francisco at Seattle. This is not a double-digit division dog that I would want to bet, so I would pass. But if I were, I would take the 13. I mean, that just plays out so much.
I think I would have to take those points, too. Again, I'm not saying you should. In fact, I think you shouldn't. But, that's a large line against a Seattle team that's not been playing all that well.
Your Cincinnati Bengals plus +4.5 at Arizona. That is an interesting game. I thought it would have been closer to 3. I think the Bengals can cover that. I think the Cardinals are going to win, but I think it's a field goal game. And I don't want to get too caught up in the Bengals we saw Monday night against the Texans. I think they play better than that. So.
I tend to think that too, although this is a different. I mean, if they couldn't score against the Texans, what makes you think they're going to score against Arizona? And Arizona is definitely going to score. We know that.
Yeah, I do think it maybe the Texans showed people some ways to stop them too, which I'm sure the Cardinals would take advantage of.
I guess what it boils down to is, I mean, when you factor in the 3 points for home field, they think Arizona's a point and a half better than Cincinnati.
It's probably about right.
And I have a hard time arguing that.
Yeah.
And so, in fact, if I were as a lean, I would say Arizona, but again, no play.
Yeah, I would lean Bengal. So, and then finally, the Monday night game, Buffalo +7 at New England. This game, the one in Buffalo, New England got out to the huge lead. The Bills came storming back to make a game out of it. But, of course, the Patriots won, as they have every time this year. I am actually going to go over 48.5 in this game.
That's going to be your third play?
That is my third play, over 48.5. As far as the side, I can't play against the Patriots right now. My temptation would be to take the Bills +7, but I'm not going to get in the habit of betting against the Patriots right now. Doesn't pay off very often.
Yeah.
If it gets outside of 7, I'm a lot more interested.
It's very difficult to bet against the Patriots at this point. They've punished me every time I've done it. If I had to play, I'd probably say -7, and I'd give the points with the Patriots. But again, no play.
All right, so
I might have something for that on Monday because it's Monday.
Yeah, my three official plays for the purposes of our game, none of which I'm actually going to bet this week. So just so you know, the Atlanta Falcons -5 at home against Indy, the Green Bay Packers +1.5 at Minnesota, and Buffalo New England over 48.5.
And I am on Raiders +1, Cowboys -1, Bears +1.
Jong?
I'm going to take Jets Texans under 42.5. I'm going to take Chargers +3.5, and I'm going to take Seahawks 49ers under 40.
All right. We didn't talk about the Jets Texans, but Jets -3. And the reason for that, I was kind of saving that in case we had to go into the next segment. That number seems about right to me. I might, especially with the quarterback situation, I might look at that 40 number and go under it.
Yeah.
But I don't really have an opinion on the side.
I'd be on the Jets if I had to. I mean, I feel like I got to give an opinion on that game, so that'd be my opinion. But it's probably not one that I'm looking to play. This is just a rough week. The lines are really, really good. It's one of those weeks where I kind of am shaking my head, going, I don't see a way to beat these guys. So it's not much going to be out there for me.
All right. So we want to talk to Oscar De La Hoya?
Yeah, let's talk to Oscar.
Ladies and gentlemen, very, very happy to have with us Oscar De La Hoya, who is one of the men behind this big matchup this weekend. Before we get to anything else, I want to ask you, tell us a little bit about this fight, because I think this is one that we're all looking forward to.
Yeah. No, this is your typical, you know, Mexico versus Puerto Rico. You know, the rivalry goes back to 1930, I think it is. Recently, you know, the Chavez, Hector Macho Camacho type of fights. You know, these fighters must come out and fight with a lot of passion. That's what this fight signifies. You know, the fans put so much pressure on these fighters that they have to come out and swing for the fences right from the start. But that's actually a great thing for the sport. It's a great thing for the fans. They're going to see a real fight.
And I mean, it was nuts out there, just people piling in. So, I mean, I can't wait to see what it's going to be like Saturday night. You got into it a little bit last week with Floyd Mayweather. And then there was talk about it being sour grapes. But I think you made some really good points about, you know, what he's meant to the sport and how he's done some damage to it.
I don't see it as sour grapes. I mean, look, it's great. I mean, he's accomplished so much and the business and this and that. I was just being real. I mean, that was my opinion. I wrote down what I felt, and you know, I mean, the fact that he's now retired and we're moving on to a new era in the sport, you know, I just thought it was perfect timing.
When you see this rivalry between Puerto Rico and Mexico, and the stars align and you get a matchup like this,
right.
How exciting is it for you as the promoter to be able to put this on, knowing that you've got two nations that are just entrenched in these two guys and are both going to be right behind them?
Well, the beauty is that, you know, both fighters understand the history behind the rivalry, behind the Mexico-Puerto Rico rivalry inside the ring, and both fighters do not know how to take a step going backwards. They're gladiators, they're warriors. I mean, we're gonna see an intense fight. I mean, this kind of reminds me of me when I fought Fernando Vargas. It's gonna be that intense. It reminds me of Felix Trinidad when he knocked out Fernando Vargas. It's gonna be that type of fight. Both fighters do not know how to take a step going back. I mean, it's gonna be fun. For people who haven't seen a fight, for people who were disappointed with Manny Pacquiao, Mayweather, I mean, this
everybody.
Fight here is going to be fun.
Let me ask you this. If you're whoever comes out of this, a lot of people have asked if they'd be willing to fight Golovkin. Is that something you think your guy's interested in doing?
Absolutely. Why not?
I would love to see it, man.
I'm a promoter who takes a page out of my, you know, career's, you know, book. I fought everybody.
You
put the best against the best. You have to. I mean, that's the way you're going to determine who the best fighter pound for pound is. And will Canelo fight Golovkin? Of course.
Well, Oscar, we'd love to keep talking to you, but
they're hauling you off.
Yes,
my man. And, all right.
Always a
time
pleasure,
for the weigh-in.
Appreciate it,
thanks,
Oscar.
Guys, appreciate
that's
it.
Oscar De La Hoya, who is promoting the fight. And a great fighter in his own right. Always great to talk to him. We'll be right back in some Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
It's an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas for the Canelo Alvarez and Miguel Cotto fight. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at the Mandalay Bay. A couple things from the text line. For someone looking to get into sports betting, could you quickly explain how the point spreads work? No, but there's a great book by an online audiobook. I'm getting a lot of questions like that, right? People are trying to ask specifically things we put in there. That's one of them. All available for just $12.99. You can afford that. And then you do know, you know, gambling is a disease. Let's talk sports, guys. It's a disease, really?
I don't know. I've got no side effects.
I got a fatter wallet. Is that a side effect? That's pretty good.
Yeah. Look, listen, you know, if you really don't think that gambling is a part of why sports are as popular as they are, you're very naive.
Yeah, and I would just say when we go through the league like that, we also talk about the game. So if you're not into gambling, you kind of find out how we think a game's going to go, and we preview it a little bit. If you are, then that's a slant. But, you know, sorry. I consider that sports. And I think majority of our listeners would as well. But I'm guessing you're new to the show. And you're like, what's going on with that? Well, we're just giving you a nice preview. 713-780-3776 if you want to text the show. Did you see that apparently the Kings – are thinking of another big run at John Calipari, pay him a bunch of money at the end of the season? Yeah, seems to be the according to Larry Brown Sports, the Kings are planning to make him an offer he can't refuse, which the belief is that they'll take another run at him, and you know, don't know what that means. Does it mean a piece of the team? Does it mean control over personnel? But it's clear that that's the guy they want. They're off to a 4-9 start under George Karl. He's been having problems with Cousins. It all makes sense.
I feel like Calipari is built for college. I mean, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, what he's
– and I don't know that the college coach to pro coach in basketball is a different animal.
I don't understand. I don't know. I mean, I guess I understand why you're looking for him, because who else are you going to look for? But I don't think that's the answer. Look who's here.
Yeah, he just wants to get on there and
are
talk
you,
to
are
people.
You done
put
done
the
with your
headphones
show?
On. No, we're not going to have time
talking
for you.
About? We got nothing going on. Uh-huh. Well, we get off at 5 o'clock.
Just like everybody else.
Yeah, man. What time are you getting off?
Today I can talk with my old people. I get off at 7. It's 2 to 7.
7 here local time?
No. I'm
7 Atlanta
time. Yeah.
You're off before us.
Yeah, you're off before us. I'm talking about we get off at 5 o'clock local time.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, you want me to come back?
No, man.
What are you guys talking about?
Yeah, we're talking about you. We were talking about I thought you moved off to Atlanta to work at an all-black station.
Why would you think that? That's so racist of you, AJ.
And then you got a white partner over there. What's going on?
Yes, I had white partners in Houston.
I know, but I thought you left to get away from us whiteys. And next thing you know, I see, like, hey, man, this is my co-host, and then it's some white dude. I mean, what is going on with this?
Oh, geez. No, man, you know what? Yeah, I'm working with – you might have seen my partner in the news here recently.
I did see that. Yeah. He's a sexist, right?
Well, allegedly. I mean, listen, nothing
– He's a sexist, but it's okay to be sexist. I mean, listen.
Well, let's put things in context, first of all. I mean, you know, he made a comment. He apologized for it, but I don't think one comment defines who you are, AJ. You, of anybody, should know that.
No, I think whatever you say, that's what you're about.
Well, then you are racist, AJ, and I know this.
It's a labeling process. Everybody knows I'm racist, Carl. Don't break news.
Freddie, man, what's up? I can't believe you're still dealing with this guy, man.
You know, I just tune him out.
Yeah, listen.
What did you just say?
He didn't even hear me. How's the show been going down there?
Man, it's good, bro. We're doing well. I mean, top five show, man, in the market, so we can't complain, man. We're doing really well. We're doing really well.
Now, What happened to your boy Cordell Stewart?
He's chilling. You know, when you make a lot of money.
He's not doing radio
anymore?
No,
when you make a lot of money in the NFL, man, and your name's Slash, you know, you make money for the rest of your life. So, you know.
What was up with him?
You don't have to necessarily do this.
Now, I've worked with ex-football players before. Was he the kind that he just didn't want to do the work and he just wanted to show up and be Cordell Stewart?
No, I'll tell you what happened, man. For all those folks who want to know back in H-Town, here's the deal, man. He had a lot of stuff going on when we started the radio station and started the show. He was married. He was on Housewives of Atlanta at the time. Yeah. He had things going on with his son. He's got a son who's an amazing talent. I guess in a few years you guys will be hearing about him. Sire Stewart. He'll probably be one of the kids that you guys will be talking about. But nevertheless, he had a bunch of stuff outside of this, what we do, going on. And he needed to deal with some of that. So he was great, man. Cordell, we still talk. He's a terrific dude.
All right.
Yeah. We want some dirt?
I thought there was some beef or something.
What, you want me to do the tabloid thing?
I thought maybe the dude was lazy. You never know.
Like, what do you want me to say? Like, I walked in and I saw something? Come on.
No, I know that sometimes these football players, they just show up and they played football, so they think they can just do whatever and they don't have to do any work.
Well, you said that. I didn't. Hey, is Jong back at the studio?
Yeah, he's the one who just started that music to get you out of here.
Jong, I'm not breaking. I don't break when the music comes on anymore.
You know what?
except we got R.J. Bell next, and he's more important than you.
Carl,
so.
do the thing.
What thing, man?
You know what thing.
Put him up! All right, man. Love you guys, dude.
All right, peace, thanks, brother. Thanks for dropping by, man. Good stuff.
Crazy
Quick
Carl.
Break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz, live from Mandalay Bay, beautiful Las Vegas. And as he joining us as he does every week, also from beautiful Las Vegas, it's our good buddy from pregame.com, RJ Bell. Mr. Bell, how the heck are you, sir?
Hey, boy, is Vegas okay? When did you guys get into town?
Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Morning. Thursday morning, technically.
Everything. They going to be able to keep the lights on tonight?
I think so, although I'm telling you, Fred has been on a tear out here with the ponies and with poker. I'm not sure. I know, listen, this Mandalay's pretty nice. I think that he's going to have at least a percentage of it by the time we get out of here.
Well, remember now, ponies and poker, there's a mutual pool, and then they take a rake. So the books are doing fine.
Oh, yeah, all right.
It's the people you're playing against.
Well, that's
exactly.
True.
Exactly, and that's who I like taking money from is other people.
Real, I like taking it from the house.
Well, there's a reason they have that they have these big casinos, and most people don't. That's why I stay away from them.
No doubt.
Hey, let's can we? I want to talk about the Vegas rankings in college football, because one team that both AJ and I think a lot more highly of than the committee did was North Carolina, and I noticed in the Vegas rankings they're 10th.
Yeah. So you guys, by the way, have had, you know, you were down on TCU. Obviously been the case. You were down on Baylor. So when it comes to these Texas teams, you guys are pretty sharp. So kudos on that. In the Vegas rankings, North Carolina 10th right now, and the committee has North Carolina 17th. Yes, 17th. So consider, now this is fascinating, the most underrated North Carolina, the most overrated Iowa. Committee says 5, Vegas says 11. So now imagine this. If number 17 by the committee, North Carolina, was on a neutral field against number 5, Iowa, many professional bettors, now not all of them, some think maybe Iowa would be a 1-point, 2-point favorite, but many believe actually North Carolina should be favored. So 17 versus 5, with 17 being considered better by some pretty sharp guys.
I know the committee really hasn't shown any respect for the University of Houston. Where would Vegas have them in their rankings? Would they be roughly where the committee has them?
You know, where's the committee? I got the 19. Top 10 in front of me. 19.
Yeah,
you know, if I'm remembering and I only have the top 10 in front of me that in our Vegas rankings, I'm thinking it was like maybe 14 or 15, so a little better, but not top 10.
Yeah, that's about where I would have had them, was 14 or 15, so that makes sense. All right, let's talk about some of these games on Sunday, and we'll start with the Texans, because they are 3-point home dogs to the Jets. You've got an injured quarterback with the Texans. You've got a guy with a hurt thumb with the Jets. What is Vegas telling us about this game?
So one thing I really was looking forward to talking about this game, because this is such a great example and a good teaching moment here. And first off, the Jets are favored by 3 and some extra juice, so like a little more than 3 at Houston. But what I find fascinating is if you look at Houston's offense yardage-wise, they're actually 13th in the NFL, so, you know, the top half of the league. But if you actually look at Houston's yards per play when they rush, they gain the least yards in the NFL every time they rush the ball, 3.3 yards a rush. Every time they pass the ball, they gain the least yards in the NFL, 6.4. But they have the fastest pace in the NFL, meaning they run more offensive plays than any team, even more than the Eagles. So if you really think about it, and it's such an important lesson for the handicappers out there, if you're only focused on and considering counting stats, how many yards, you know, things that are raw counts, and not looking at it per play, you're making a major, major mistake. And this is such an object lesson in that. Worst rushing team, worst passing team, but has the 13th most yards. To me, that lends itself to a team to be a little bit overrated.
One of the things that we talk about a lot is buying teams when they're the price is low and selling when the price is high. And I think a huge example of that is this Raiders-Lions matchup this week. And maybe you can convince me that I'm wrong, but the Raiders looked obviously pretty bad last week after they were coming off a little bit of a high, and the Lions got the best win that they'll get all season long, obviously. Now they're about plus. The Raiders are +1 dog. I mean, what are your thoughts on that line, and where would it have been a week ago if we were looking back to last week?
Yeah. So actually, just a couple of hours ago, Raiders were 1.5-point favorites.
Okay.
Now I'm seeing pick'ems around, and even Detroit favorites. So there has been some Detroit money. I think it's justified, because here's the thing, and I get the idea that Raiders look bad, so we want to look to play on them. But I think the narrative of this team being much improved, the Raiders, continues. Even though they lost the last two games, they were dominated, you know, by Minnesota, who isn't a great team by any stretch. And it's only the third, you know, with Raiders as a favorite, it would only be the third time that they were a road favorite since 2005. If you look at the last 28 Raider games, 3-25 straight up. 3 wins out of the last 28 games. So how can you be favored like that unless you're very, you know, much, much better, or unless the opponent is just horrible. And listen, Detroit's not a good team at all. They're well below average. They're not horrible. I mean, this is a team that was supposed to, you know, was borderline to make the playoffs. I know they fell short of expectations, but, I mean, San Francisco's clearly worse. You can probably name some other teams. So, to me, I think Raiders are being priced as an average team. And the fact is they've been outgained by over 300 yards net this season. The opponents have outgained them. That's only 26th in the league. I think they won some games. Everyone's excited about the ideas of the Raiders being relevant again. I'm not. I think it might be a little premature.
On that same note, a week ago, Green Bay would have been a three-point favorite, and now they're getting points at Minnesota, a point. I like the Packers here. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Here's the question. One is, how good is Minnesota? Because if you look at their record, you look at the performance against Oakland, they're really good. Vegas, though, doesn't think that. Vegas thinks they're decent, but not really that good. So, on one hand, that's the first question. Number two you got to ask yourself is, what does Green Bay losing at home tell us? Because as we talked about last week, they had lost two straight games entering that Detroit game, but they were on the road. And last 3.5 years, Green Bay's been a really good team, net-net, but they have an under 500 record on the road. So losing to Denver, losing to Carolina, two good teams. And remember, Manning played his best game of the year against Green Bay. That's nothing to be ashamed of in the NFL. But then to lose at home, a location where in those 3.5 years, Green Bay's been 25-6 straight up, that is a real red flag. So to me, I like to buy when a team is low, but I also have to wonder, and you said a key point, Green Bay was favored by 3. Now they're an underdog. So, yeah, it's been a huge adjustment in the last week or so. I just wonder, maybe it's warranted. Because what we've seen from Green Bay at home losing really has to be a red flag. By the way, one last thing. Vikings have covered 8 straight games against the spread. Our database goes back to 1989. That's one of the 10 best streaks.
Wow.
In those 27 years. There's been 4 other teams that won 8 straight, 4 teams that won 9 straight, and only one team to win more than 9 straight against the spread. This is in season. This was San Diego, covered 13 straight back in 1992. Stan Humphries at the helm, I recall. I was on them a good bit that year. But the fact of the matter is, Vegas has been behind the curve, obviously, with Minnesota. And I think they've caught up somewhat here because of this line move, Minnesota being favored. But it really comes down to, is Green Bay a top 5 team? If so, you take the points. If they're not, I don't think you take the points.
We got time for one more, and there's a couple of interesting games, so I'm going to let you pick one. The Broncos, who knows what they would have been. Had you asked me 2 weeks ago, what would they be at Chicago? They're now a 1-point favorite at Chicago. And then the Cowboys getting Tony Romo back, a 1-point favorite at Miami. Which game do you see more interesting stuff,
you know,
with?
The Romo game's simple, and I'll say that in 10 seconds, is Romo's worth about a touchdown, but we don't know if he's 100%, so you can't give him his full ranking bat or rating. You've got to keep that in mind. Denver, I think, is a great example of an overreaction. Manning this year has been a below-average quarterback, ranked 28th out of 31 in QBR. So we think the adjustment should only be about a point to Brock Osweiler, where it's a downgrade, but not that much of a downgrade. But the market's moved drastically. If you would have bet this last week, the line was Denver favored by 6. They went all the way to Denver being a 1-point underdog this morning. Now Denver's a 1-point favorite. It's coming back now, but I still think it's a little too. Now, listen, Chicago gets upgraded. They had a very impressive win last week. I just feel like the Peyton Manning name is carrying too much weight, and that's caused the overreaction.
That is RJ Bell, pregame.com. Always great stuff, RJ. Appreciate the time, and looking forward to talking to you again next week.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. That's RJ Bell. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day. I think it's an interesting one. I think it's one that some people will find interesting.
Okay. At least some.
At least some of the people all of the time.
All right.
Will find this interesting. We're going to tell you how often you're supposed to be having sex.
Oh, please. I need to know.
It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Really cut it up one time.
Ooh. 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 Ooh.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Come on. Lock them in. This year's Blitz shirt commemorates the pepper spray incident. It is on sale right now. Available in black or navy and in sizes for all types. You can find it at the UT Co-op store in Uptown Park. Or for stress-free shopping, log on to universitycoop.com. Get yours now and get your Blitz on. Bare Knuckle Radio with Dingo and the Boys at 7 tonight. Longhorn Weekly with Charlie Strong at 8.
And Dingo and the Boys, you mean?
Indeed. And Drink of Ages at 9. So that's what's coming up after the Blitz today. All right, let us do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, I know this is something that almost everyone cares about. If you're in a relationship, if you're married, if you're...
Should we tell if you're if you've got kids in the car, you should probably not listen right now?
Yeah, unless your kids know all about the birds and the bees and the...
Right.
You know, the antelopes and aardvarks and artichokes
gotcha.
And things
all
like
right.
that. All right, so it's not that big of a deal, but... apparently, they've done a study over 40 years, over 30,000 Americans, gauging how happy people are based on how much sex they have.
Okay.
And using all this
data. It's a reasonable gauge, I would think.
Yeah, I think that's fair. 30,000 people over 40 years, they have come up with a number of how often you should have sex. I think this is going to change a lot of relationships. Some of you are going to feel very good about your relationship.
Boy, I hope it's not too much. I'm getting
older.
Some
of you are going to feel very bad about your relationship.
Right.
Some of you are going to say, okay, that doesn't sound right. The optimal number of times per week,
right.
according to this study.
Per week?
Per week.
Times per week?
I'm just throwing it out there.
All right.
The optimal number of times per week that you should have sex is one. Once a week.
For health purposes?
No, it just basically says that from this study, that if you had more than that, you weren't any happier than the person who was having it once a week. But if you're not having it once a week, you were much more likely to be unhappy, which I get that. I mean, once a week seems kind of...
Yeah, it's not a great amount. Who made this science? Who's the inventor of this?
Well, now, of course, the internet is screwing with us
out
here, and I'm trying to download the rest of the story. Fortunately, I had the story memorized. But it was, I don't remember who did it, but it was to me, 40 years and 30,000 people is a pretty good number. I got to say, once a week seems low to me.
4 years and 30,000 people?
40 years.
40 years.
Yes, over 40 years they studied this stuff.
I thought you were just talking about, like, your numbers.
No.
40 years, 30,000 people.
No, but once a week, so hopefully.
Jung, how much are you doing it? How often are you getting some?
I'm above that average.
Okay. Are you more than double that?
Depends on the week, I guess.
Okay. But I'm just average, like 2 to 3 for you?
Yeah, around there.
I don't want to say anything, but this early in a relationship, that seems a little low.
I think I average around 3.
Okay.
But I got kids in the house, man.
Yeah, that makes it harder.
Yeah.
I have a dog in the house, and she doesn't like it.
Yeah.
So, but all right, well. Everybody's on the one. That's good. Anyway, that's your... Oh, here we go. Now I finally have the story back up. So it was a study published in Social, Psychological, and Personality Science. Anything with that boring of a name has to be reliable, I think. So anyway, a postdoctoral fellow at the University of Toronto was the lead author of the study. She also notes that the media, from movies to music to news reports, has overstated how much people should have sex.
Now, this, you know,
that includes
is?
Us. That includes us.
This is some old lady who doesn't get laid, who is trying to make herself feel better about.
Well, here's what she
not
says.
Not getting laid.
But she's from Toronto, so we found that sexual frequency was associated with greater well-being up to about once a week for the average person. Having sex more frequently than once a week was not associated with greater well-being.
Okay. She's lying.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's what the study tells you. And That's your Zadon Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
Thank Very you for... interesting study, reading some of these other quotes. But
yeah. Are you going to tell your wife about that?
No.
Keep that info to yourself.
No, that. There's certain of you out there driving around right now that basically you're going to hear that and say, I'm not telling them my significant other. And some of you are going to be like, dude, I'm telling this person once a week.
I like it a lot. I like a lot better when like these things come out that say, studies say increased sex prevents ovarian cancer. Then chicks are like, dude, we better start doing it all the time. When a story like that comes out that just spits in the face of all logic.
Yeah.
I mean, is it?
Well, it spits in the face of our logic. These are average people we're talking about.
That's true.
There may be some folks out there who say, oh, that's a lot.
No.
I mean, not here. Not, you know. I mean, I don't know. I'm just passing on a 40-year study.
Yeah. They clearly didn't talk to you.
No.
Especially when you were a newlywed.
Who takes these surveys? Have you guys ever been approached for a survey? I have, but I don't think I've ever taken any.
I always pass on taking surveys.
Yeah.
Because whatever I say is right. So they're just going to dilute my answer with a bunch of wrong people's answers, and I don't need that.
I see.
I don't need that fake science running around.
The people who have sex more than once a week were too busy doing that to participate in the study.
That's true.
I think you're right about that. All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. But then again, they're only human. The chick was a hit because her body was booming. Gold, pearl, rubies, crazy diamonds. Nothing she wore was ever common. Her date, heads of state, men of taste, lawyers, doctors. No one was too great for her to get with. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.